and make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Pastor, would you pray for us?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Precious Father, we thank you tonight for the blood of Jesus washes us from all of our sins, prepares us for a heavenly home. Oh, how precious that blood is.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
As we gather here in our church, we pray that you will be present with us in our service, that you will touch every heart and open our hearts to your love and to your peace and to your joy. Be with our speaker tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, just anoint him with your power and let him be the voice that speaks your word to our hearts. Thank you for this day and for each one that's here. Bless them for even for having come.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I said, Pastor, I think he's getting used to being called RC instead of Pastor. I don't know. Is that what you want me to call you? I feel like it's disrespectful if I say RC. I'm just so used to it after years and years and years of saying pastor, you know. But so, amen. How about if we turn over to 365, through it all, 365, amen. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation,
And the trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've been to lots of places, and I've seen a lot of faces. There've been times I felt so all alone, but in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I thank God for the mountain, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. For if I never had problem, I would know that I couldn't solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pat, for picking that song. It was difficult for me. But it's a good song. Amen. Without trusting the Lord, I tell you, I don't know where I would be today.
Amen.
I've had to lean on the Lord throughout this last year like no other year in my life, and my family has, and learning to trust Him. Maybe that's what He just wants us to do. God is good. We just have to trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our path. Amen. I love that verse and hold on to it. If you have a favorite, we'll try to sing it.
491.
491? If I don't know it,
well, come on.
Come on up. Hey, we're in this together. Amen. 491.
Oh, so are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. death into life everlasting. He passed and we follow him there. Over us and no more thy dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. Yes, sir. 534 till the storm passes by. Amen.
In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storms howl above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there's no use to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. In that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Amen. One more and we'll have our offering. Yes. 601. 601. A little voice out there, huh? Amen. I guess we got to stand up for this one, right? Amen. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong core, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen. Yes, sir.
Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, oh Lord, that indeed we can stand, Lord, because we can stand on your promises. Heavenly Father, we have come this evening in faith and in unity. Dear Lord, we would like to pray for our brothers, the Franklins, Lord. We have a special request for your healing hand to be with their their friend. Yes. And Heavenly Father, again, we would like to acknowledge, Lord, your provision for us, your the materials, Lord, and the finances that you've entrusted into our care. Yes. We pray, Lord, that we will be wise, Lord, in the stewardship of such resources. Again, Lord, we acknowledge that we have received all the material blessings that we have, and Lord, it is now as part of our worship to return unto you, Lord, these tithes and these offerings. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I guess after a wonderful morning, we're going to have another blessed evening. Brother Cabal comes and preaches the word and lets the Holy Spirit lead him and guide him. We just praise God for this opportunity and look forward to what the Lord has.
Amen.
Amen. So come on up, brother. Amen.
right, man, that was some beautiful singing. And Brother Dave is a good song leader here, man. Just exciting and just, man, once again, it's an honor. Well, it's an honor and privilege to be here, and it's just so great to meet you all and get to know your pastor and to get some glean some advice from him, and it feels like I've known you guys all my life. It's just it's an amazing thing about being a Baptist Christian, and just the friendship, the fellowship that we have. It's unique, it's true, and you could definitely feel the love for one another, and it's. Just been rejoicing with my wife and our folks from Bible Baptist Church, and that we're just so blessed by you all here, and we're glad that we can reconnect with each other, and had a good lunch with the Penlilios earlier today, and we had a great time of fellowship and just talking about, man, what a wonderful church it is here at Bible Baptist Church. All right, well, once again, it's another night, evening, and I hope that this message would be a blessing and encouragement to you. And so let's go. I'm gonna go ahead. We're gonna take our Bibles and took it to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. How many of you here know about the book of Philemon? All right, maybe some hands here. Okay, now it's right after Titus and before Hebrews. And this is probably the longest book in the Bible. No, I'm just kidding. It's one of the shortest. It's only about one chapter long. And a great book to study for young preachers. I was very curious about this book, and I had a great time studying it. So the book of Philemon, the Bible says here, I'm going to go ahead and read. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, my heart is so full today, Lord, of just being here, Lord, around your people, Lord, and Lord, being able to, Lord, to meet Pastor Wetzel, Lord, who has been faithful, Lord, in the ministry for 65 years, Lord, and Lord, to be around these people, Lord, has been an encouragement, Lord, to me. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would use me now, Lord, to speak your word, Lord, to them. Help me, Lord, to be an encouragement, Lord, to be a blessing, Lord, to these people, Lord. May it not be me, Lord, but you, Lord, speaking through me. And we love you, Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we see here that Paul is writing this letter, and he is writing this letter from prison. He is writing to a good friend of him in the ministry, and his name is known as Philemon. And we see here that Philemon was known for his hospitality, his refreshing, and his love for God and Christians. Basically, you would say that Philemon was that man in the church where you, whatever you go to his house or whenever you're near him, boy, you were refreshed. How many of you here, you have someone in your life that, man, every time you talk to this person, man, I am just encouraged. I am refreshed. And that was the kind of man that Philemon was. He was a loving man. He was, he liked to, hey, come on over to my house. Let's go have some coffee, or let's have some, a cake, or hey, let's go over to, this place and have some fellowship. And that's the kind of man that he was. As I think about this message, I can't help but think about some of these questions here. But how many of you here have ever gotten into a fight? No, okay. I'm going to ask you another question, and if this doesn't apply to you, you could put your hand down. How many of you have ever gotten into a physical fight, like an actual physical fight here? Some of us here, sadly. Okay, how many of you here have gone into a physical fight with a family member, whether it be a sibling, or we all here have probably had some fights with maybe a friend or a brother or a sister. I remember growing up I have a brother, and one thing about brothers is you have to share with them. You have to share with your belongings, whatever you have. And one of the things that I had to share with my brother was my toys, my action figures. And boy, growing up, man, I took care of my figures. My dad blessed me with some G.I. Joes, and I took care of them, and I made sure that everything was nice and complete. And there was one toy that I had to save up for. I had to work hard for it, and boy, I wanted to keep it in the box. And one day, as I came home from school, as I was going to my shelf, I noticed that the toy was gone. And I was looking for it. And then I went outside to the backyard, and I noticed that the toy was open, and it was in the dirt. It was playing with the dirt, and there were some parts that were broken. And I found out it was my brother. And I was very upset with him. I yelled at my brother. I told him to stay away from my room. I was furious. I didn't want to see his face. I was so mad at him. And he's actually here right now. He's back there. Go ahead, wave to them, Isaac. His name is Isaac. But as we come to this passage of Scripture, we see here that although Philemon was known for being an encouraging brother to refresh people, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was confronting Philemon about a problem. He was confronting Philemon about there was a problem that happened to him in his past. There is a reason why Paul is writing to Philemon, and it's not bad, but this will also be a test, just like kind of like what we mentioned in the morning, how we all go through tests, and this was a test that Philemon was going to face. You see here, Philemon was being confronted with a past that he never thought would reappear in his life. The Apostle Paul goes straight to the point in verse number 8, Once again, the Apostle Paul was saying that he was refreshed by thee. But look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee." The word enjoin means to charge or to command. As we see here, the Apostle Paul was about to get into some serious business. How many of you here have ever been approached by maybe an authority and they said to you, "Hey, can I talk to you really quick? Can I talk to you in the back?" Boy, whenever someone says that to you, man, you're like scared. You're like, uh-oh, am I in trouble? Uh-oh, did I do something wrong again? And that's how Philemon felt. The Apostle Paul was confronting Philemon about a problem. He was charging him. This was serious business. The Bible says in verse 9, "Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee," being such an one as Paul. When the Apostle Paul was writing this letter, he approached Philemon, he was talking to him as a friend. The Apostle Paul is now old and is almost in the end of the ministry, not to mention the fact that he is writing Philemon from prison. And we see here, why was Paul writing to Philemon? What was the purpose? Let's look at verse number 10. The Bible says here, "I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee and profitable to thee." We see here that Paul mentions his son. Now let me clarify that this was not his blood son. Paul didn't have an actual son, but this was Paul's son in the faith. He witnessed him. He was able to witness to him. And we see here that Onesimus was saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. We could even say that he was saved under the prison ministry. And so seeing this, we see here that Onesimus wound up in prison. So how was Onesimus related to Philemon? How was the two together here? Look at verse number 11 and 12. We see here that in some past, Onesimus was with Philemon. And we see here that he was to Philemon unprofitable. He was unprofitable, it means useless or worthless. When my brother broke those action figures, he became useless to me. He became worthless to me. But as we see here, look, in the same verse, Paul mentions that he has become profitable. He's become worth it. He's become useful now. We see that there's been a change in Onesimus' life. And we know this because he has been saved. He is a Christian. He is a new creature. Aren't you glad that when we get saved, we are a new creature? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we see here the purpose of why Paul was writing to Philemon. The Apostle Paul was sending back Onesimus to Philemon. So we come to the main point. We come to the real reason why Paul was writing. Paul is pleading with Philemon for this one thing. And tonight we're going to learn how we, as Christians, can accept the unacceptable. Let me ask you tonight, has there been someone in your life that has been unprofitable to you? Someone that has hurt you? Someone that you had a fight with and things they've become unprofitable to you. They become, man, I don't want to talk to this person. I don't want to deal with this person. Tonight we're going to look at how we as Christians can accept the unacceptable. I earlier mentioned that my brother at a time in my life had become unprofitable to me. And we see here, tonight we're going to learn what Paul said to Philemon. How can we accept the unacceptable? How can we accept someone that has been unprofitable to us? Someone that has hurt us. Someone that has gave us a hard time. Someone that has crossed us. Let's look at verse number 12 once again. The Bible says, "Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him." I want to go ahead and underline that if you want to mark it up. Receive him. That's going to be a key word tonight in our message. Paul commands and charges Philemon because he is his friend, because he is known to afresh Christians, Because Onesimus is saved and the new Christian is profitable to him. Therefore, because of these things, I want you to receive him. Philemon, you are known as someone who is encouraging others. You are known as someone who loves others. And because you are known for this, because you are a loving brethren, I want you now to accept Onesimus back into your life. Take him back. Receive him back. Receive my son in the faith. You see here, the Apostle Paul was very close to Onesimus. In fact, in verse number 13, let's look at verse number 13, whom I would have retained with me. You see here, Apostle Onesimus was such a blessing to Paul, he wanted him to stay with him. He would have rather that Onesimus would stay with him because of how a blessing he was in the prison ministry that he was involved in. But the verse number 13 says that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the gospel. Because of your testimony, Onesimus could have been ministered to me. He could have been a help to me. But look at verse number 14. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Look, Philemon, I would keep Onesimus, but I would do no such thing without your permission. I am your friend, and I am being accountable to you. And we see here that Onesimus, he wasn't Philemon's son. No, but Onesimus was a slave under Philemon. Even back in the Bible times, slavery was going on. And we see here that the Apostle Paul was practicing the right thing. He was being accountable to Philemon. He said, hey, you know what? I love Onesimus. He's been a great blessing to me, but guess what? You know what? You're still his master. There's some things that he needs to get right with you. And I'm sending him back to you now. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, is stressing to him, it's all up to you. It's your decision. You can accept him back if you want to, but you need to make this decision. Let's look at verse number 13. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season. Look, I know he left you. I know he ran away from you. There was a falling out. There was a fight between you, a division. But once again, in verse 15, he says here, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, but now that thou shouldest receive him back forever. That is the second time that the word receive was mentioned. Philemon, I'm sending Onesimus back to you so that you can be reunited with him, so that you could receive him back forever. How should I receive him? How was Philemon going to receive him back? Look at verse number 16. Philemon was going to receive him back, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. You see here, the Apostle Paul was saying, hey, look, I know he did some wrong to you. I know there was a falling out between you two, master and a servant. But as I'm sending Onesimus back, I want you to accept him back, not as a servant, not as a slave, but as a brother, as someone that you love. Receive him back, not in the way you are expecting, not in the way where he is no longer a servant. Why? Because he is free. Receive him back more than that, beyond a servant, a brother, lovingly. The Apostle Paul says here, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Philemon, if you're known as a Christian, if you are known as someone that refreshes others, receive him back for my sake, but not only for my sake, but for the Lord's sake as well. Please receive him back more than a servant. Especially to me, this is my son, I love him, but even above me. Verse number 17, the Apostle Paul, he extends himself now and he says, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Look, if you can't receive him as he is, receive him as if you're receiving me, as if I'm receiving myself. If I'm to be a fellow laborer, a beloved brother to you. We see here that was the third time we see here the word receive was mentioned. Let's take a pause here. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul wants Philemon to receive back someone in the past that was unprofitable. He ran away. He departed. We don't know what was mentioned in the Bible of what happened between them. Maybe Onesimus stole something, or maybe there was some rebellion going on. But Paul is sending him back, and he wanted him to receive him back forever. Can I tell you something? That not only was Philemon the only person, but there were some other people in the Bible that had to receive people back in their lives. I can't help but think about Joseph and his brothers. How many of you remember what the brothers of Joseph did to him? What did they do? They took off his clothes. They beat him up, and they threw him in the pit to be sold. They were planning to kill him. They were planning to sell him. And guess what happened? Joseph, of course, God spared his life. He rose through the ranks of the Egyptians, and now the tables were turned. And guess what? The brothers now had to be under the mercy of Joseph. But can I tell you this, that Joseph had to accept them back as well. The Bible says here that Joseph said unto them, this is at the end of the end of Genesis, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is to this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You see here, Joseph also had to accept back his 11 brothers that bullied him. Not only Joseph, but I can't help but think about the prodigal son, who he abused his inheritance with his father. He said he took all the money from his dad, and he left his home, and he went out into the world, and he spent all his money out in the world, and guess what? He was left with nothing. He was left to eat the food of the pigs. But what did that father do? Did that father reject him? Did that father say no? No, the father received him back. In fact, they had a big feast. And we see here that there were other people in the Bible that had to do that. I can't help but think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who we have offended, who we have sinned against. But guess what? Jesus Christ still says, "I still love you. I still want to accept you." But maybe some of you may say, "Well, Brother David, you may say that it's easy to accept someone back, but you don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand how they offended me, how they hurt my feelings." Now let's take it for Philemon's side as well too, because it's not just Onesimus, but Philemon had some things that he had to be careful of as well. According to Roman law, an owner could severely punish or even execute a runaway slave. You see here, Philemon faced a difficult choice. According to his new faith, now that he has been saved, that could have dire consequences. What would people think about me if I accepted back this slave? He hurt me. He did bad to me. I should kill him. He should have been dead. What will people lose respect for me? He was a very respectable person in his community. And we see here that, was it fair for Philemon to accept back Onesimus? He would be looked down upon. Not only that, but what would the other servants in his household say? Some might even say, "Well, if he has received him, then I can be free too as a slave." But we see here, look at verse number 18, and this is an amazing revelation that I noticed here. Verse number 18: "If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account." Apostle Paul was saying, "Look, whatever Onesimus has done to you, whatever he stole, whatever he broke, whatever financial cause," the Apostle Paul was saying, "I will pay you back. Just accept him back." Paul understood what Philemon was going through, and he wasn't just going to throw this on his plate. You see here, the Apostle Paul too had to exercise this manner of accepting someone back. How many of you here remember of the young man named John Mark? John Mark, both the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were getting ready to go on a missionary journey, and John Mark was was not being willing to, he was not being ready, and they had to part ways. But we see here at the end of his life, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "Send Mark, for he is profitable to me." You see, the Apostle Paul had to practice what he preached because he had to accept someone back as well. Paul knew what Philemon went through, and he provided in a way in monetary terms. If he said, if he hath wronged thee, damaged, or broken, he would put that on my account. "I, Paul, have written with mine own hand, I will repay." He confirms, he says, put that on my tab. If he's done anything against you, don't worry about it. I'll pay for it. The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." Onesimus deserved to be punished, but Paul said to put that on my account. If I was Joseph, I would have put my brothers to go through what I went through. They deserve punishment, but Joseph received them back and loved them even more. The prodigal son deserved to pay back his father. He deserved nothing, but his father loved him back and had a feast for him. Can I tell you, Christians, that we deserve hell, but God loved us so much, and he accepts us back. Only if we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. I can't help but think about our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, who became the propitiation for our sin, whom God had set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. We see here that he accepted him back. And verse number 19. This is the amazing revelation here that kind of struck me. The Bible says, "I, Paul, have written it with mine own, and I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides." As you can see here, not only was Onesimus was saved under the ministry of Paul, but Philemon too was saved under the ministry of Paul as well. Look again at verse number 19. He says, "Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides." Paul was saying to Philemon, "Look, I don't need to remind you of the debt that you owe me, even your life." It is revealed in verse 19 that Philemon owed something to Paul, which was his life. You see, Philemon wouldn't be known as the man today we know today were it not for the Apostle Paul witnessing to Philemon. Isn't that amazing? So as we could see here, both Onesimus and Philemon were both brothers in Christ. They were both the sons of faith to the Apostle Paul. Paul was the father, and he was basically, the Apostle Paul was the father, and he was telling his older son to forgive the younger brother. Can I say this, that in reality, no one owes us anything because we are nothing but sinners. If anything, we should give God our lives. And honestly, we could all say that we are all Onesimus. We're nothing but slaves to God, amen? We don't deserve anything. The ground is level at the cross. When we really think about it, Paul was saying to Philemon, because you have been accepted into the Christian family, because you've been accepted to the Christian family, I want you to now accept the people in your life that has been unacceptable. Because I have been accepted, I can now accept the unacceptable. How about you tonight? Are you worried about settling the score? Do you always want to get the last word? Do you want to get that payback? You know what happens to those kind of people? The Bible says that there was a servant in Matthew 18. There was a servant that he was given the chance to be forgiven, but when it came time for him to forgive another servant, guess what? He didn't forgive him, and he was cast into prison. And that's what happens. If we hold our grudges, if we don't accept back the people that have hurt us, guess what? We're going to be in our own prison as well. As human beings, we want the payback. We want the revenge. We want justice. We want things to be set right. Guess what? The only person in our lives that can get things right is God. Verse number 20. Yea, brother, let me have joy in thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels. Philemon was known for refreshing. Paul wanted to see him again and to be refreshed, but what Paul really wanted for him was for him to be refreshed one last time with his last request. I'm going to go ahead and have my dad and my brother come on up here really quick just to kind of illustrate this as we close here. As you see here, I'm going to go ahead and use them as examples. Dad goes to stand on this side, and Isaac goes to stand on this side. So let's pretend for today my dad is Philemon, okay? And my brother is Onesimus. So Isaac, go on this side really quick. So at one time, they were both together. Onesimus was a slave, and he was the master. Something bad happened. He stole something, and you broke something. So you ran away, and you ended up in prison. Now here comes Paul, the Apostle Paul. Pretend I'm the Apostle Paul, and he meets Philemon. He witnesses him, and he gets saved. And Philemon becomes who we know today, the man that is known for refreshing. And then later on, Paul, being the apostle that he is, standing up for Jesus Christ, he ends up in prison. And lo and behold, he gets to meet who? Onesimus. And there he says, hey, what's your name, Onesimus? Okay, and he shares the gospel with him, and Onesimus gets saved. So Onesimus, tell me about your background. Where did you come from? And that's where Paul starts to put the pieces together. Oh, so you used to be under Philemon. You used to be the slave. Guess what? I'm going to send you back now. I'm gonna send you back, and I want you, now that you're saved too, I want you to go back and to get things right. So Onesimus worked out his debt, and now what we're going to do is Philemon, come over here, and Onesimus, now both of them are coming to the middle ground. And the Apostle Paul was saying, I want Philemon, I want you to accept him back, not as a servant, but as a brother beloved, someone that he loved. Onesimus, be loyal to Philemon. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. So, isn't that a beautiful picture there of how, guess what, we need to receive them back. Those people that have hurt us, those people who have offended us, hey, God is telling us tonight that accept them back. Is there someone that has been unprofitable in your life? May I remind you that at one time, there was one time where the Apostle Paul, even himself, he was unprofitable to God. He was known by the man as Saul, who was killing Christians. And he was very he was a bad man back then. But guess what? Who God accepted him back. We think about Peter, who was a fisherman who cursed God, but guess what? Someone accepted him back. We think about Joseph's brothers, they were unprofitable. Someone accepted them back. The prodigal son, someone accepted these people back. And if no one received any of these people, they would have remained unprofitable. But because someone received them, because someone accepted them, because someone was accepting the unacceptable, guess what? They became profitable, first of all, to God, and secondly, to us. May I remind you that there was a time where we were unprofitable to God, but because of his loving grace and mercy, Jesus Christ interceded for us, and he and by accepting Jesus Christ, we became profitable. The book of Philemon is about accepting someone back, not because of his or her worthiness, but because of the acceptance that you have received. What about if they owe me? Give it to God. He will repay it. He will repay the hurt that they have caused. When we understand that all we have in Jesus Christ, it will enable us to treat others more graciously, because we realize that we are nothing but sinners saved by grace. No one owes us a thing, and we should always be loving and acceptable even to those who have offended us or even done something to us. As we close tonight, when my brother became unprofitable to me, my father came to me and told me, hey, son, just forgive your brother. Just accept him back. You know, be pals again. He didn't really mean it. And And guess what? Because I accepted my brother back, because I obeyed my father's command, guess what? My dad bought me a new figure. And if we want to receive those rewards, if we want to be fully repaid, you say, man, that guy owes me. Guess what? Accept him back, and guess what? God will somehow, some way repay you, and he will reward you. My friend, God is writing a letter to you tonight. He's asking you to accept those brothers or sisters that may have been unprofitable to you so that they could be profitable to you. Are you worried about the dead? Don't be. Put that on God's account. He will repay you. Don't forget, remember where you came from, because we owe God our lives as well. Remember, because God has accepted me, I can now accept the unacceptable. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, Father, Lord, for this time to be in your house, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for this message, Lord. Lord, it's but a one chapter book, a small book, Lord, but so much truth, Lord, that has been mentioned here, Father. And we pray, Father, now tonight, Lord, if there is anyone here, Lord, in your house that they are struggling with, Lord, accepting someone back, Lord, that has been unprofitable to them, though someone that has hurt them, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would accept them back, Lord. Help them, Lord, to take them back in their lives. Lord, if there's someone here tonight as well, Lord, that has not accepted you in their heart, Lord, and they are going through life without you, I pray, Lord, that they would come and accept you as their Savior, Father. We pray that you please bless this altar call. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Have a hymn of invitation. Let's see. We'll turn over to pardon me? 484. How about 484? Would you all rise, please, and we'll sing 484. Please go ahead. One verse. Father, it's been so good to be in your house today, Lord. I don't want to leave. I just want to stay in fellowship with all my brothers and sisters and with you, dear Heavenly Father. And one of these days, we will do that. We'll be together in heaven, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you for all your blessings, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for Brother David and his family. We thank you for their faithfulness to you, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to bless them, bless his family, bless him, Lord, as he continues to serve you, dear Heavenly Father. We just thank you and praise you for this wonderful day that we had, Lord, and just be with us the remainder of this evening, Lord, and be with us throughout the week, Lord. We pray for those who are sick, Lord. We especially pray for the lady that's in the hospital that has had a stroke here that we just found out about, Lord. And we just pray for her, Lord, that you would Help her to regain all of her faculties, Lord, and that she may be able to speak and walk and talk and do all the things that she was able to do before she had this, Lord. We just ask you to bless her. Lord, we just thank you for all your blessings, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.